May the words of my mouth, the meditations of all our hearts, always be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our salvation. Amen. We began our Lenten journey this year with a story of Jesus' baptism by John in the Jordan River. And we heard God's voice resounding in Jesus' ears, "You are my son, the beloved. With you I am well pleased." And today we read about Jesus being in the city of Jerusalem near the end of his ministry, and we once again hear God's voice. Jesus has asked God to help him glorify God's name, and we hear God saying, "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." But this time, the words spoken by God are not for Jesus alone, but for the crowd. And we know that they have heard it because they mistake it for the sound of thunder. The gospel story today is a story of transition from the tales of Jesus, his ministry of teaching and healing, to Jesus' journey to the cross. The gospel story takes place after Jesus has made his triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem. Jesus is riding on a donkey, and the crowds are waving palm branches and shouting, "Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel." And the Pharisees are standing on the sidelines watching all of this happen. And they commiserate with one another and say, "What can we do? Look, the whole world is going after him." And we see a change in Jesus. Once Andrew and Philip tell Jesus that there are some Greeks who would like to meet him, Jesus seems to turn inwards and start talking about his death and resurrection in a very imminent way. Jesus can see what is happening around him, and he begins to talk about his own thoughts and feelings, about his calling to the cross. In other passages, he's been looking to his followers, trying to help them to be prepared and to understand what is going to happen. And even though he is speaking with them, he is sharing a more personal way than we have heard him before. As we listen to what Jesus is saying about what he knows is about to come, it is a stark and somber reminder that what Jesus did was not easy nor simple. It took great commitment and care to walk the path from the glory of the palms to the glory of the empty tomb by the road of suffering and death upon a cross. Jesus is taking time to reflect on his journey, trying to process it and how he will be able to manage everything. One of the most irritating questions a spiritual director I once had asked continually was, "What is stirred up for you?" It was a question that they asked to help me name my inner thoughts and feelings on a particular situation that we were working on, and to help me get my thoughts and ideas about what was behind those feelings. Stirred up is exactly what Jesus is going through. Jesus doesn't use the word stirred up to describe what his soul is going through. He talks about how his soul is troubled. But he seems to be doing the exact same work that my spiritual director wanted me to do with their question, "What is stirred up for you?" What has gotten Jesus all stirred up? He is reflecting on the necessity of death, not just any death, but his, and what it means for him and the people who are following him. Jesus uses a beautiful image about his death, life, death, and resurrection. He likens it to a grain of wheat being sown into the ground, buried in a grave of soil and compost, where what it is as a kernel of wheat is transformed into new life, an entire plant with many stems and many more kernels. Through dying, it produces life. And at first glance, Jesus is helping us to understand what it means to love their life, even to lose it. If a disciple truly loves their life enough to follow Jesus, then they too have to come to realize that there is a need to separate their life and its connections to the things of this world and see Jesus in action in a new way to live. We have to come to hate how limited living according to any other standards is in comparison to servanthood to God and God's purposes. And as Jesus reflects on this lesson, he thinks about himself. More than any other, his was a life lived from the best kind of love, rejecting the shackles of this world and always looking to set people free for abundant life. Through his ministry, Jesus has already done so much to bring honor to God, but Jesus knows there is even more work to do, and that work will require a great sacrifice. Jesus's divine nature is fully united with his human nature, and has come to hate his life enough that he is willing to die and be buried for the fruit of a more abundant life for others. This stirs up a lot of feelings for him. It is not that Jesus loves himself too much or that he hates himself in a degrading and sinful manner. The love and the hate that Jesus describes for us is different for him, because they are made perfect in God's love for the world. One commentator I read this week asked the question, what is perfect love? What is perfect hate? For her, perfect love is a love that leads to transformative change and blessing for many people. A love that breaks the ties that binds people to captivity and away from God. A love that has no sin in it at all. A love that gives itself for the greater good. A love that serves all that is true about God. And she talks about perfect hate in the exact same way. Perfect hate is a hate that leads to transformative change and blessing for many people. A hate that breaks the ties that binds people in captivity and away from God. A hate that has no sin in it at all. A hate that takes from itself for the greater good. A hate that serves all that is true about God. These higher callings for love and hate are not an easy road. And there is only one who can manage this road, Jesus himself. In a humbling reminder to us, Jesus says that he is stirred up, distressed, even while resolved to be doing this for our sake. It is why he came to earth. And because he is distressed, even while resolved, he calls upon the loving God for support, letting his disciples hear him call out to the Father, who responds with words of encouragement that Jesus is doing what they have set out together to do. Though it seems that the crowd didn't quite catch the words spoken from heaven, Jesus tells them and us that this voice has come for their and our benefit. Perhaps he also means that he publicly shared the difficulty of his innermost thoughts for our benefit as well. Because in that moment, Jesus models how that ruler of the world will be driven out by honestly seeking the glory and support of God in the midst of trials here on earth, and by willingly let the necessary things die in order to experience new and abundant life.